Amen. All right, let's get right into this word here this morning. You know, we talk about anointing, and I think loosely it's been a word that maybe you've just kind of thrown on the back burner, or maybe it's new to you. But I got to tell you, guys, anointing is key. It is the key of being a Christian. It's the anointing. It's that level of knowledge, of knowing who you are in Christ Jesus, and it flows out from you. It's important. I've been told time and time again right now, during all that's happening here in the year 2020, and there's been quite a bit, and you may be sitting here at your house right now, and you're thinking, yeah, it is. You're not saying it enough right now. You know what? I've been told that maybe the messages that's been preached isn't poignant enough or directed enough about the hot topics that are happening right now. Some of you that are sitting at home or maybe even here this morning, we're a little extra, maybe super sensitive to certain topics. I got to tell you guys, actually, every one of my messages, if you've been paying attention, is very poignant to today. Me talking about the anointing is me talking about the hot topics that the media has been talking about. And here's why. Because there's so much division out there. There's so much hatred out there, anger, resentment, that the anointing of God is exactly what we need. It sets us apart from these division topics, these moments of hate and anger and offense. And I'm not standing for it. You know, our God preached a word. Through the power of Jesus Christ, he preached a word that was so poignant for that day that it's still poignant for today. And that leads me to Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." This is Jesus. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." That's the anointing. "For he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." That word is still good for today. You know, we're talking about the anointing, and Jesus had it. You know what? He had it. I want it. You should want it. He made it available for us today, and that's something for us to be behold of, wow, Jesus had it. I want it. We should all have it. I'm unwilling to live life without it, aren't you? I want it, and it's the power of God that transcends those understandings of today. I don't need to talk about the divisional statements that are taking place. I don't need to create a flag to stand behind. My banner is the banner of God. My banner is victorious over all of these obstacles that we're facing today. My statement of stance is that I am a Christian. And that's the foremost, first, best thing that I can stand for. That I'm not going to stand in division. I'm not going to stand into the unwavering loads of fear that keep happening and being heaped on our heads. I'm standing on a foundation that's solid, that I know who I am in Christ Jesus. You know, I know what Jeremiah says. In Jeremiah 1:12, towards the end of that verse, it says, "For I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled." God says it, he'll do it. Guys, I'm standing on watch to see God's word being fulfilled. I want us to be active in the anointing upon our lives. I want us to walk in the transformational power that strengthens and enables us to bring joy upon the multitude that's brought by the anointing power of God. I want us to walk into a room and people take note of there's something different about this individual. I want someone to know that the presence of God is living and dwelling inside and outside of you everywhere you walk, that it sets the mood for the room, that not the political division, not all of the different medical divisions, everyone's trying to create these sides. And when there's these sides, then I can't talk to you any longer. Guys, I'm going to tell you, God wasn't about bringing in division. He was trying to unite everyone. There's no longer Jew or Gentile, right? There's no longer. Remember these scriptures. That's the thing. Many people are missing out on what's happening. God is trying to bring a unification, but it's all by declaring that he is Lord over your life. That's the difference. Many people want, they're missing the the very beginning of their Christian walk. I'm talking to Christians here today. Many Christians want to be like, yeah, he's talking about, sinners. No, I'm talking to Christians. I'm talking to us as Christians that we declare Jesus Christ our Lord and personal Savior, so we need to know what his word says. I think this is a wake-up call. So I want us to revisit when we declare Jesus Christ our Lord and personal Savior. So in Romans chapter 10, verses 9, it says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You are saved from all of this division. You are saved from this hurt and pain and anguish and the anger that's taking place and offense. You are saved from these things. You are saved from your old self, your wicked thoughts and your old ways of doing things. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Verse 10, for it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Many people are preaching a gospel of the world and not preaching a gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is what I'm talking about. You're declaring your faith, declaring it. That's that banner, that victorious banner that you are a child of God. We've allowed these other nonsense. And I'm telling you guys, I don't care what you're saying from your house right now. Josh, it matters. No, what matters is that you are a child of God and that you're acting like one. That's what matters. People want to create these divisional statements. This is what I stand by. No, you stand by Jesus Christ and what he has to say over your life. Man, you have been openly declaring your faith that you are saved. In verse 11, as the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are in this same respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? Guys, isn't it awesome? Everything starts. I love how Paul describes this. He breaks it down. He starts from one end and brings it to the other end. But in reverse, it's being sent, right? It's preaching it. It's saying it. It's hearing it, and it's being saved. Because if you pay attention, he's calling us out to preach the gospel. He's telling us, he's creating this mathematical equation. We're pointing to problems in this world. And in the same retrospect here, Paul's doing it, even in that current moment, that He's saying and sharing out, there's division, and now there's no division. Jews and Gentiles, guess what? God loves them. God loves both. God wants to see both saved. There's no more division. He's bringing us together. And then he's saying in all of this, hey, there's people that need to hear it. They need to believe it. They need to act upon it. They need to preach it. They need to speak it out. But for us, not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from hearing, that is hearing the good news about Christ. So I want us to have this eye-opening moment. I want you to learn how to activate the anointing upon your life. So my first step in activation is focus on God's word. When we focus on God's word, we begin to hear God's will on our lives. We begin to know the anointing that God's placed on you to be successful in preaching the gospel and to being that instrument for noble purpose that catapults us into a position for his word to be heard to the lost, to the hurting and the dying. If there's one thing we all can agree upon, man, there's something we all can agree upon this morning is that God's word needs to be heard. It needs to be heard. It is good. It is life. It brings life. We need to speak God's word, but we've got to focus on God's word first. And here's why. Years ago, my wife and I was late at night, probably past midnight, and we were laying in bed, and we heard a crash outside of our window, outside of our house. And my wife and I, we both kind of jumped up, and I opened up the windows, and I looked out, and sure enough, there was a car that had crashed into my neighbor's yard. Well, I jumped up, I ran out the window, or sorry, I ran out the house and out the door, and all of a sudden, that car took off. It was dark, but my lights were on in the front porch, and I was looking, and I watched the car drive by. I even went to tap the back trunk. That's how close I was to the car. And I live right beside the chief of police in Gibsonville. And he runs out. The car was already gone, but he runs out. And he goes, "Josh, did you see what happened?" I said, "Yeah, the car crashed into the neighbor's yard, hit this little fence thing, and then all of a sudden it took off, and it had struck something from underneath the car. So it was leaking fuel. And it drove off. So there was this nice trail." And he said, "Did you see what the car looked like?" I said, "Yeah, I almost touched it." I was like, "It was this brown car. It was kind of long. I couldn't really catch what it looked like. And I think the license plate started with like G." And so he's like, "Oh, okay, great." And so then the police came and I'm standing out there. So I go back in for a second to tell Anna. And so I come back out. And so they had followed the trail of fluid and it had parked right around the corner and because it couldn't go any further. And there was no one in the car. And so my neighbor comes back and he said, "So what did the car look like?" And I said, it was brown. It was kind of long. I think the license plate started with G maybe. He goes, "Well," he goes, "it was short." He goes, "It was silver. And it started with a completely different letter, like B or D, not a G." I said, "You're kidding." He goes, "No, not at all, not even close." Why do I tell you that story? Because in the moment of a situation where my heart rate was elevated, where the circumstances were out of my control, I had to take note of my circumstances. And what I saw was a long brown car with a license plate, the letter G on it. And it wasn't the case. In that moment of fear, in the moment of elevated heart rate, I was all wrong. I had the wrong picture. I thought I knew what was right. I could have sworn by it. If I had a Bible in that moment, I would have put my hand on the Bible and I would have said, "I swear to you that it was a brown car." But no, in all reality, it was short and it was silver. I think this is a wake-up call for us, that many of us think we know what the Word of God says, but unless you're dwelling on it, unless you're reading it, unless you're living it, you're gonna live a false lie with this idea of like, "Well, I think the Scriptures say this," or "I know what this." No, you need to know what it says. And those moments when a circumstance arises that's out of your control, you need to know what the Word of God says, and you need to be focused on it. You need to be relying on it. It can't be this, "Let me look at this scripture," and then just, "Oh, okay, I looked at a scripture." No, you need to look at it intently, to know what it says, to know what it is, the meaning behind it, and how to actually live it out. We glance at things quickly, and we think we know, but you need to know what the Word of God says. So I want us to focus on the Word of God. And let me continue with this. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, "So faith comes from hearing, that is hearing the good news about Christ." When your thoughts drift into the lane of fear and negativity, it's important that you redirect them by grabbing the wheel and focusing on the Word of God. That you say, no, I'm not going to do this. I've got to focus on what the Word has to say. When you become more aware of what God's word says about your situations, then you'll begin to know what the Holy Spirit can do in those situations. So in those moments that something takes place that's out of your control, you begin to have control because you know what the Word of God says about it. A lot of people, when a situation arises that's out of their control, they actually give it control because they don't know the authority and the anointing upon their lives. They give control to that circumstance. It's the anointing of God that destroys the yoke. It's the anointing of God that separates you from all that the enemy's throwing at you. Guys, I'm about to read some scriptures here in just a second that I pray that you're taking notes at home right now. It's inconvenient for some of you maybe to get up from the couch, but I would encourage you to get up from the couch and write some of these notes down. To sit here and say, I want to just study this out a little bit more. Guys, we need to wake up to some of our traditional wake up, or our traditional habits of Sunday mornings right now. We've been 6 months not in church, and you're sitting in your PJs at your couch. There's nothing wrong with that, but I don't want you sitting there with your PJs in your couch, and you're not studying the Word of God for what I'm saying right now, because it's important that you write this down. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven and not the things of earth. Why is this important? Because you're acknowledging that Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose from the grave, defeated it, and went to the right hand of our Father in heaven, sitting right there on the throne. Why is this important? Because Jesus declares a gospel, as I read earlier. He declares a word here in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. When you acknowledge that Jesus Christ is on the throne, sitting at the right hand of God, then guess what? You can believe what he said is so. When you read the Word of God, that you know what Jesus declared is so, and it is for today. It's not for 2,000 plus years ago. It is alive and living, and it is for today. We need to wake up to this moment, everybody. We can't live in this lifestyle of like, well, Jesus said it. No, Jesus said it, and it is so, and we live by it. So in Colossians, that's why Paul is very adamant about the fact that we got to think about the things of heaven. Why? Because God is there, that Jesus is there, and he's declaring truth over our lives, that he is the bridge of grace and mercy, forgiveness. He's bringing that upon our lives so that we can live in a lifestyle that's anointed by God. This gives us a reality that the Holy Spirit can live and dwell inside of us. He's raised us to a new life. So what Jesus said is so. So this brings me to the meat of my message this morning. In Luke chapter 4, and this is where it's important that I want you to take notes, because in Luke chapter 4, in verse 16, this story will start unfolding, and I want us to stop at portions of Scripture because I want to break this down for us. I'm talking about the anointing here this morning, okay? And my first point, again, I want to reiterate this, is focus on God's Word. So in verse 16 of Luke chapter 4, it says, so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And this is where I want you to highlight all of this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach, underline that, to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim, underline that, proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim, underline it, proclaim the liberty, sorry, the acceptable year of the Lord. Because how beautiful is this, right? And then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Isn't that wonderful? They were marveled. Marveled is a positive word, everyone. They were marveled over it. Oh my goodness, listen to what he just said. Wow. They marveled over this. This was something unique. Why? Because he spoke from an anointing. This word was anointed. It was from a place they had never heard before, a higher place, right? They were astonished. But then what comes next was the downfall. What happens here? And they said, in verse 22, "Is this not Joseph's son?" It all went wrong when they began to question the origin. They began to walk in familiarity. They took what he said and they shook it down to, well, this is Joseph's son. Who's this guy? And then they could no longer understand the corrective power of this word, the anointing that was on it. They created a division. They created a, I know who this guy is. Not going to listen to anything he has to say from this point on. Because what took place next was massive. But before I get into that, point number two. You have to value the anointing. You have to value the anointing. Because they devalued it immediately. Verse 23. So he said to them, "You will surely say this proverb to me." This is the same anointing. Do we all agree with this? Everyone at home, everyone that's in this room right now, do we all agree? Jesus walked in the same anointing, right? I mean, I think it'd be a little blasphemy if we sit here and said that, no, Jesus shifted. Jesus never shifted. It's the same anointing. He said to them in verse 23, "You will surely say this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have done, or whatever have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country." Then he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath and the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman, the Syrian. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. And they rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way." Guys, take note of this. Same anointing. They were marveled at his word. And the minute that familiarity creeped in, the minute that they sifted down Jesus, down to this humanistic approach, that they looked at him and go, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" Like, we don't have to really listen to this. Immediately, even though the anointing never left Jesus, the minute the same anointed word that came out from his lips was then began to be rejected. Why? Because they marginalized who he was. They created division of who he was. They were no longer allowed to listen. You guys, does it sound like today? I'm right. You're wrong. People having deaf ears, blind eyes, to see the power and the anointing of God, to create division in the house of the Lord, to create heartache and hurt and pain in the house of the Lord because they're not focused in on the word and by no means have they create value upon the anointing. They have no value to it. When they hear the word, they just, well, that's what the Bible says. No, that's what the word of God says. It's truth. It's alive. It's real. It's so It's amazing to me that even in that moment with Jesus, the same thing's happening in this culture today. That people are creating this division. They become hard of hearing because it's not what they want to hear. That's what Jesus was calling out. You want to hear these things, but you don't want to hear what I'm about to say next. And they were willing to kill Jesus the minute he told them the same anointed word. It's just not what they wanted to hear. Many of us don't want to hear what the word of God has to say about our situation or our circumstance. So therefore, we don't want to read the word of God. I think there's some moments for us to be corrected right now. Verse 31. Then he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbaths. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Do you guys know that authority, it's a power. It's a power resulting from position. Jesus knew his position. He knew his authority. Many times Christians don't know their position because, well, for one, they haven't been reading the Word of God. If you know your position and your place, then you'll walk in authority and anointing. You need to wake up to that moment of authority, of your power that's been given to you as a Christian. Authority is a place. It's a higher place like never before. They were astonished because they have never heard these words that he spoke because it came from a different place. It came from a power of the Holy Spirit upon his life. The same Holy Spirit that Jesus, he declares and issues that the disciples were not to go anywhere without this power. And that before the word would be preached and declared, that they must go and they must wait upon this gift found in Acts chapter 2. That's even today still happening. That it didn't die back in an upper room. That this same anointing, this same power from the Holy Spirit is alive today for us to call upon, for us to lean in on, for us to allow to flow through us. This is so important. They not knowing these words, they took note of it. They also didn't familiarize with Jesus in that moment either. They didn't create this, well, he's Joseph's son. They didn't know anything about this. They listened to the word and what it had to be done and said in that moment. So in this section right here where he's healing the sick and the lame and he's preaching the word, something takes place here that's pretty awesome. Verse 33. Now in the synagogue, there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice. So here we go, right? The voice. This voice is coming from somewhere else. This is not a voice that cries out from the same higher place that Jesus is from. This is a different voice. And it became loud, right? Loud. Man, that's all I hear right now. Let me see who can be louder. Who's louder? Who can have more ads on the television? Oh, I'm going there, everybody. This morning, if you haven't taken note, I'm going there. I'm stepping on toes with the Word of God. Who's louder? I want us to wake up. I want us to turn these voices off and listen to the voice of God. That anointing, that power from God. Everybody, there's these voices that are from a different place. You know, I think about this. When you read the Word of God, and I've told you guys, I want you to journal. I want you to sketch out. Go back to where Jesus was in verse 31. He went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them. Highlight them. Underline them. Who's them? Us. People just like you and me. laborers of the field, fishermen, masonaries, nurses, moms, dads, children, everyone, them. And in doing so, they were astonished with his teaching. And his word was with authority. And the same moment, us, here we are, people. And then there was a war of words taking place. Does it sound like today? I'm right, you're wrong. It's a war of words all around us. Where do you stand? One another? Nobody's getting anything accomplished. Some people think that the virus that's out there is not real. Some people do believe it's real. Some are extra super sensitive. Some are not sensitive at all to it. And then there's this division behind it. Some people are saying the craziest of things. People are trying to make money off stuff right now, off of fear. A moment. There was a war of words. You have this loud voice that cried out fireplace. And he cried out with a loud voice saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet, I'm come out of him." Hey guys, isn't it awesome that in that moment when that loud voice came out, Jesus wasn't by any means shooken by it? He wouldn't go, "Oh my Lord." He wasn't sitting there going, "Did you guys hear that too?" No, you know why? Because he is the Word. He was the Word. He was wrapped in the Word. I mean, read John chapter 1. Jesus walked in the Word. The truth was on him. So nothing shook him. Nothing was a foundation of unsettledness. He was settled. He knew his authority. He knew his power. He knew how to walk and act. He had an anointing on his life. And it's the same anointing that he calls us to walk in. It's the same exact anointing. No different whatsoever. So many people, even Christians, I've heard, you've been living a lie. You have this idea that you say, "Well, that was Jesus." Jesus says, "No, that's you. He calls you out to do it." He's the great example for us to follow. Many of us discredit ourselves by saying, "Well, that's Jesus." No! Jesus tells us to walk in that same anointing. Jesus looked and he spoke out. He rebuked him by saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." He didn't sit there and shake himself. "Oh, I don't know. I don't know what to do right now. I'm just gonna sit here and watch you keep talking." No. His authority, his anointing was greater than that. "Be quiet, come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word this is." Highlight that. What a word this is. "For with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits, and they came out. And the report about him went out into every place in the surrounding region." You know, there's an anointing on your words when you speak God's word over your life. What a word this is. Guys, you need, this leads me to number three here. This, again, I'm going to help you guys out of what I'm trying to do here. I want everyone that's watching and listening to this word, I want you to learn how to activate the anointing upon your life. I want you to focus on God's word. I want you to value the anointing of God's word. I want you to value the call upon your life. And I want you, thirdly, to speak, preach, proclaim God's word. This is what God wants us to do, that when we focus on God's word and we value it, then we can't do anything but speak, proclaim, and preach God's word. And the anointing that God's placed on your lives, and the anointing that you've seen placed on other people's lives, I want you to inspect it. You should inspect the anointing. You need to research it. Inspecting means research. You're looking for it. When you're looking for something, it's a treasure. You're saying, oh, I'm looking for something good here. I want to find it. I want to see it. I want to touch it. I want to smell it. I want to hold it. I want to have it. There's an inspection that's going on. You're inspecting it. I want it. Then in that process, you're expecting it. This is faith. You're expecting the anointing. I want it. I want to see it. I want to have it. You're expecting it. And in the process, you are respecting it. It's treating it with honor. That you're saying, no. I respect it. You respect it. Man, I've seen people treat so many individuals with the anointing and the power of God with so much disrespect. It's unbelievable. I hear it. When we were in church, people would disrespect pastors all the time. They would come in and want to tell me how bad such and such pastor is across the street, and I'm looking at my watch and I'm thinking, how long is it going to be until they disrespect me? This is not a position. Some people, when you hear this, I've heard my own family members curse and knock down other pastors. When this is said, they'll be like, oh, look at him. He's so high and mighty. No, this is a corrective word for some of us in this room and watching right now. I've seen so many times people disrespect the anointing, the office of the place where God has placed people to preach the word of God, and they no longer can hear the corrective words because it's I'm right, they're wrong. I've heard it too often, even in this own house. People want to say things. This is not a position for me to get you to honor me. No, you're honoring the anointing so that you can hear the word of God correctively in your life, so that you can have the life fulfilled that God has called you to have since the beginning of your birth, so that you can live a life fulfilled where you can honor him and walk in his will and purpose for your life. So inspect it, expect it, respect it, protect it. I want you to protect it because it's special. Do not allow the anointing to be stolen. And how can it be stolen? Through pride. How to keep it? Humility. I want you to protect it. I want you to honor it. I want you to walk in it. How to activate that is to be a steward of what God's given you. A good steward of what God's given you, to focus on God's word, to want the anointing, but then to value the anointing that it is, to not familiarize yourself with it. How sad that people don't realize who they are in Christ Jesus. They don't realize the power of God's word. People treat it with so much disrespect. I want us to wake up to this morning. There's so much division and hurt and pain. And I want you right now, the corrective word that I have for all of us is to let go of all of these banners that aren't the banner of Jesus Christ. To let go of all of these things that we've placed of, I'm for this or I'm for that. It's sin. All of it's sin. If you're not doing it in love, it's sin. No one's willing to walk in the power of God. They want to walk in the power of this world. It's time for us to rise up to the things of God and be who God's called us to be, proclaiming the gospels, proclaiming truth and joy and prosperity of life. Prosperity and all that we put our hands to. Stop living a lie of this world. When you hear the things that are not from the higher place, be bold enough to speak with the authority and the anointing that you've been living in so that you can cast it out and it won't affect you, to proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ. Listen, if you don't know who Jesus is and you want to make him your Lord and personal Savior this morning, then I want you to pray this prayer with us. But us as Christians, I also want us to correct our hearts right now. And I want us to reevaluate, what have we been standing for? Have you declared Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? Then I challenge you as a Christian to begin to live it out. I want us to pray this prayer. And if you need anything, if you want to reach out and meet with me, meet with one of our pastors on staff, then I want you to reach out to the church. You can email us at info@trailhead.church. You can call the church at 336-229-7729. But I'm standing firm right now on God's word and his truth. And I would encourage you to do the same. So I want us to pray. I want us to pray. And then for you that are at home, stick around. Miss Christian's bringing an anointed word for your children. They need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the truth. Let's make that happen. So let's pray this in right now. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your word, your truth, your understanding. God, I thank you, Lord, that we declare you as our Lord and personal Savior. Lord, that's the flag we hold up. That's the banner we hold up. God, that's the position that we stand for. Lord, that's who we are in Christ Jesus. Lord, that it's Jesus Christ, that people need to get saved. That's what matters. Hearts need to be changed. Lord, directions of thought need to be corrected. God, I thank you right now, Lord, that there is not a place for division in your gospel. God, that there is not a division in who we are as Christians, Lord, but that we declare you as our Lord and personal Savior. Lord, that we no longer live in sin. Lord, that we are separated from sin. Lord, that we walk in truth. Lord, that we walk in your understanding. God, I thank you right now, Lord, that our children will not be raised up, Lord, in division or divided, but God, they will be raised in truth. Lord, your understanding. God, I thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we will not create division within the church. That, Lord, that we will argue about topics of this world. But, Lord, that we will talk and, Lord, that we will feast over the truths of your word. God, I thank you for this. God, I thank you, Lord, that we will begin to walk in the anointing to see the blind healed. And, Lord, to see the deaf, to be able to hear your truth. Lord, that the lame will walk and that people will begin to walk in joy. Lord, that no virus, no disease will separate us from your love or your truth. God, I thank you for this. Lord, we praise you. We honor you this morning. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hey, stick around. Miss Christian's got an anointed word, all right?